Postcast is brought to you by The Store at 600 South and 20th East. So glad to have you with us on the program today as the Jazz blow out the Los Angeles Clippers. No Kawhi Leonard and no Paul George. For the Clippers, the Jazz do what they're supposed to, outscoring the Clippers 38-20 in the third quarter. But maybe more importantly than any of that, Ron, Mike Conley arrives on the scene for the Jazz. What's your thoughts, what you saw from Mike Conley?
I'm happy for him. I know he's been working very, very hard. We've watched him in the shooting drills and knocking down shot after shot after shot. And then you get into the ball game, you can't knock him down. And so I'm happy for him that he finally knocks down a couple in a row, and then the confidence starts to build.
Ron, you shared today that you thought about your career. You've been through something similar. Take us through what you went through and how you can understand what Mike Conley's going through.
What's really happening, I think, for him, and maybe I'm speaking for him and maybe not, but I'm telling you what went on as far in my career. When you're the kind of player that he was or he is, and you're the first option in a lot of the offense or even the second option, then you go to a team where you drop down to the third or maybe even the fourth and you're handling the basketball, they expect something different out of you, then it changes for you. That's awfully difficult to do when you're so used to being the first option in someone's offense. So he's going through something that he just could not get into a rhythm. And because we know what the kind of player he is, but he just could not get into a rhythm to the point where he could make a couple in a row and get himself going.
And so what does it feel like now that you finally had this big night? He had the second largest scoring quarter of his NBA career with 18 points in the third quarter. He had 19 last year in March against Portland. Only time he's ever scored more. What's he feel now?
Well, he'll sleep tonight. Yeah, knowing that, I'm out of the slump. At least I had one good game there anyway. I know when this happened to me when I was playing for the Lakers, and I went to the Lakers and I was playing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he was the number one option. They threw it to him. We played off of him, and it was just awfully tough, difficult for me to adjust that, to wait on him to give me the ball to score rather than, running an offense to the point where, they're setting things up for you. So now that has happened, all he has to do is just find a way to fit in with what Quinn what he wants them to do, and then work from there. Get used to only getting maybe 13 shots a game to the point where he and being effective at it.
We are live for you on Periscope at Locked On Sports, live on Locked On Live for you on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Facebook. Please join on any of those formats and send your questions in. All of our streams do bring the questions in. AAR Jordan on Twitch says, how different would this game have been if Kawhi played? And the answer is there's just no comparison to what this game would have been if Kawhi played. You probably can't take anything out of this game from a standpoint of how do the Jazz rank against the Clippers, where does this put the Jazz in the West, other than the Jazz got a little bit of a gift in the fact that they rested Kawhi and they took advantage of it.
Absolutely. Even though the defense was geared, and what they worked on this morning was geared to try to take away some of the effectiveness of Kawhi Leonard and Lou Williams, with Kawhi not playing, just changed the Jazz defense altogether. And so we got a gift, that's for sure. Kawhi is off to a very good start this year at scoring, and obviously his defense is very, very good. So we got a gift tonight.
The Jazz go to 4-1, and they do it behind another brilliant defensive outing. So last year, Ron, in 46% of the games, the Jazz were able to hold their opponent to under a point of possession. That was brilliant, and you win 86% of the time when you do that. They have now done that in five games this year, 5 for 5, 100%. Is this defense legitimately as elite as last year's?
I think it's elite and it's awfully good. I think we need some more games and against some different opponents to find out just how good the defense is. But even if they're in the top five, that still makes them excellent, even though they were number one last year. But the big thing here is the offense is gotten better. So that puts them into a class, an elite class of being a very complete basketball team.
I mean, my storyline for the offseason was if the defense can be as good, they're going to be great. In fact, I said if the defense is the one or two or three, they'll be the one seed in the West. We haven't played anyone that lets us know whether they're one, two, three other than the Lakers, and they beat us. And I don't think anyone's beating the Lakers on that night, their home opener, having lost to the Clippers. And so it's going to take some time for us to be able to figure out whether we're actually that good. But I would say that they're showing the signs of what could make this team great.
Absolutely. And again, you just said top three, top five. As long as that offense comes together and it's in the top 10, top 13, that makes this a very good basketball team.
The Jazz win it tonight. Few other little subtle changes. Jazz changed the rotation tonight. Mike Conley played two stints instead of three. He had been kind of floating between them, and it allowed the bench unit to stay on the floor for longer periods of time. They kind of played three groups tonight, the starters, a bench unit, and then they went to the Ingles, Bogdanovich, Conley, Donovan, Gobert lineup to close. What's your thought on how the rotation was different tonight?
Well, I think, and I'm going to look at this a little bit different, I think Quinn is looking at combinations out there on the floor for a longer period of time because of that. And the Jazz jumped off to they had a 14-point lead, as much of a 20-point lead. Then you start looking at different combinations out there on the floor. You start looking ahead maybe to the next ball game or to the next time the Jazz play the Clippers and seeing, what players can do what against other teams. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The Jazz let the Clippers back in the ball game because of that, and Quinn had to take a different approach. But Quinn's trying to figure things out there as well, even though, we talk about how good our defense is. He's still trying to figure things out.
Well, the Jazz played nine players tonight. George Niang was not a part of the regular rotation. That was really the primary change that took place there from the Jazz. Bojan Bogdanovic had another early assertive first quarter. And Donovan Mitchell did not shoot a lot of threes tonight. He shot two of his 17 shots were threes. He didn't make any of them, but he went 10 of 17 from the field. He is shooting well over 50% here in the opening five games. What are you seeing that's different in year three of Donovan Mitchell?
I think he's getting very comfortable with that 15-foot range. And he's being comfortable knowing that he could get there. He had one spin move that was just totally off the charts here, where he went right, but he was going right, but spinning back to the left, and then took a jump shot right away, which means he didn't square the shoulders or anything like that, which tells me the confidence at that range is awfully good. I like what he's doing right now. I mean, those threes will come, I don't think he's going to be shy about shooting them, but I think I really like what they're giving. Taking advantage of what they're giving him and being effective at it.
All right, the big news in the NBA just came across that Mike Conley broke his left hand. Frankly, Steph Curry broke his left hand today. I frankly think Sacramento losing to Charlotte might be bigger news. Frankly, I think that's just incredible what's happening there. We're going to go to that next. But what does this do to the Warriors' playoff chances? Do you think this takes them out of the playoffs?
Well, it really takes them out of them. I don't know how they can be a good team here from this point on. You get to the point where you figure, okay, if he's going to be out for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I'm saying 8 weeks with a broken hand. Then they'll start to build for next year.
And Steve Kerr knows that plan. He was part of the San Antonio Spurs around there. He knows the Tim Duncan plan, so we'll be seeing that take place in Golden State. I mean, it's big news. Like Sacramento and Golden State, two teams that are supposed to be battling for the playoff picture, probably are not battling for the playoff picture, and we're 8 days into the season. That's incredible. Huge fight in the league tonight as well. Keep an eye on that. Joel Embiid, if he's suspended for more than three or more games, he will not be playing against Utah when they come here coming up. All right, that is our postcast tonight. Thank you very much for joining in. On behalf of Ron Boone, I'm David Locke. Have a great night.